Monday, March 5th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, that is Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we do talk sports, try to do it with a dose of common sense, try to give you something that maybe you're not going to get anywhere else, try to give you some sarcasm, try to actually look at sports with a little bit of logic, try to go a little less emotion, a little more logic. It is time to get back to work today. After what I can only hope was a very restful weekend for you. And now we are back to the work week. And we are bitter. We are angry about it. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I had a good weekend. I hope that you did too. Had a lot of things, you know. Again, we get to this time of year. And you start to think, you know, there's no football. NFL's done. College football's done. And yet there are still a ton of things to watch. Found myself watching a ton of sports. I watched a lot of college basketball this weekend. Not sure if you tuned into College Hoops, but there was some really good stuff. I watched some NBA. I watched a number of things. We're going to get to a lot of those things here today. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, tell us, I don't know, maybe what you're bitter about today, or maybe some of the things that you watched over the weekend. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear from you. See maybe what you did this past weekend. You know, today on the show, we will be recapping this weekend at sports. Also, I have a few ideas for just a couple of quick changes that would really help college basketball immediately. Some of these changes would be, okay, for the NBA, and some of them are for the NCAA, but they would help the players and probably in the long term help the game of college hoops. Also, as we do on a lot of Mondays, we will take a look at what we learned this weekend. Like I said, we had some NBA games. I watched a few of them. We had a lot of college hoops. We saw a few teams punch their tickets to the NCAA tournament. And the NFL Combine was rolling along. Definitely learned some things there. And like I said, I did watch a fight that caught my eye. Going to talk about that a little bit today as well. You know, I'm looking at college basketball right now. And I think we can all agree that college basketball needs a little help. When we see the kind of violations that are apparently taking place in college hoops pretty rampantly today, I think we know there needs to be some changes, doesn't there? Now, I don't have a plan for paying athletes just yet. I'm trying to work on that. I'm trying to come up with some things. And I know that there are some suggestions out there. I know there are some ideas out there of other people saying, here's what we need to do. One of the ideas that's out there is just an open free market. Pay the athletes in an open free agency system. But if you're going to pay the athletes that way, that does come with complications. Do the athletes have to pay taxes? Because I'm pretty sure the IRS is going to want their money. And if you are a paid employee, can I fine you? What if you get in trouble? Can I deduct some money from you? Can you be fired from your job as a college athlete? And hey, if I am paying you, forget coming back later to earn your degree. I paid you. A scholarship that can be used whenever you would like does have some value. And if I'm going to be paying you cash, then I think that scholarship, like I'm kind of taking that aspect of it away in a way. I don't know that I'm going to let you just have that scholarship whenever you'd like it to use whenever you want to use it. Hey, I paid you. You don't get to come get this scholarship later. You don't get to come take classes later down the road. And that is something that we see a lot of athletes take advantage of later in their lives after they go play pro. Sometimes during the offseason, they'll go back and they'll earn a degree. I wonder if universities would be so friendly about doing that if they were having to pay these athletes. I'm not sure how you can pay everyone equally. I know that we're talking about maybe just doing a free market payment system, but like the women's lacrosse team, they're obviously not going to make the money that the football program does, right? And I have just a feeling that the purveyors of Title IX aren't going to like the fact that the lacrosse team isn't getting a check. I think that paying athletes in college is probably coming eventually, but I think it does bring a number of complications. And let's make one thing very, very clear. Let's get this on the table. The collegiate athletes that we're talking about, for the most part, the D1 big time program athletes, they're not exactly starving to death. Like, these are clearly first world problems. Don't tell me about how you're only allowed to eat the steak and lobster from your training table between the hours of 6 and 8 p.m. and that just really cuts into your personal time. Because here's the thing, I've seen those collegiate training tables and they are no joke. You aren't exactly dining on ramen and Tabasco like most every other college kid. Now, you do bring in a ton of money for the university. I understand that. Just understand this. You also get a ton in return, including the publicity that goes with playing for a top university that you can't go get in the G League, that you can't go get playing overseas. But I do see some issues with college basketball especially. I see some issues with the way these college athletes are treated that I think need to be fixed. So I'm going to give you three ways right now that I think would make college basketball better immediately. And then we can kind of look at some of those other things in the future. I don't know if paying athletes is ever going to happen fully or if this is going to completely change how collegiate athletics is. Remember, overseas, this isn't how athletics are. You have club sports. And then once you're done with club sports, if you're good enough, you go on and play professionally. So it is a little bit of a different world here in the States. But I've just got three ideas that I want to talk about that would improve college basketball immediately. Are we ready? Here's number one. And it's pretty obvious. Get rid of the one and done. Like we talked about last week, this is the NBA. This is not college basketball. The NBA is the group that is mandating this nonsense of one and done. It's silly. It makes a mockery of the college game because the kids don't even go to classes. They don't care. And it does nothing for the kids anyways. If you're telling me that you want the kids to go to college because it will help them, well, spending 3 months on a college campus, not going to class and barely listening to a coach isn't nearly as much of a life lesson as you might think it is. So let's just dump that. If you want to go to the NBA right out of high school, go ahead. Declare hardship and go. And there are freaks like LeBron James or Ben Simmons or Kevin Garnett, and they are completely capable of doing just that. We have seen them in NBA history. There are also kids that desperately, desperately need money, and they are going to go and they are going to try to make it because they just need money. They should be allowed that right. And hopefully they can do something with it. There are also going to be players like the Kwame Browns and the Jonathan Benders that think they're ready and simply aren't. And it's going to be rough for them if they jump. Hopefully, that initial rookie contract is enough to last them. If you opt not to declare for the draft, then I think you should have to go to college for 3 years. And that might sound like a long time, but when you get done, you're going to be 21, 22 years old. You're going to have a leg up on your degree. And your game and your personal life are going to have developed a little bit. That's a good thing. Coaches can stop recruiting these one and dones. Focus on the kids that want to be there, that they can actually develop. And you know what else is going to get better as a result? College basketball is going to be better as a result. And the NBA is going to be better as a result. I think just getting rid of the one and done, making kids go to school for 3 years, I think that would be the first step. Coming back, we have more improvements for college basketball. We've only got one out of the way. I have two more. Plus, we also have what we learned from the weekend in sports coming too. All of that right after this. Okay, first step toward improving college basketball, let's get rid of the kids that don't want to be there anyway, right? Getting rid of the one and dones helps everyone involved. Let's move on to number two and number three, shall we?
You ready for the second one?
I have to tell you, I'm very impressed with the first one.
Number two, college players can hire agents. Let's get rid of this stupid taboo of no agents. Because here's the thing, we have seen, we still have agents involved, obviously. You know what the difference is? The difference is that because agents are banned, you're getting the less reputable ones involved. Hey, if a college player wants to get an agent to work on their behalf and market them or help them figure out their best options, who cares? Go ahead. And you know what? If that agent wants to loan them some money, then let's not make it a shady under the table transaction. Hey, I have an agent, believes I have a future playing professionally. They're loaning me money or whatever based on their belief in my potential. Who cares? That's their risk. That's the agent's risk. The NCAA has no reason to even care about it. It's not coming from the school. It has nothing to do with where they go to school. It is a grown-up, adult, client, business transaction. Forget it. That is completely up to the player. If they want to go get an agent and an agent thinks they have potential, let them go get an agent. It doesn't mean that the university gives them any money. It just means they have an agent and they are still eligible to play. That's fine. Who cares? Our final rule, at least for now, if a player declares for the NBA draft at any level, whether it is just coming out of high school or whether it is after their third year, and they are not selected, then they can either declare for the college of their choice or go back to the college that they're already attending. Once again, why in the world are we punishing kids for wanting to know their draft status? Following the NBA draft, you would have this little tiny flurry of activity as kids that declare and didn't get selected maybe sign with a school. Or they just say, hey, I didn't get selected and I'm coming back for my fourth year of college. And I know the argument. Well, we're going to have kids declaring and then not getting drafted, and now we have to go recruit them and adjust our rosters and adjust our recruiting process, and we as college coaches don't know what to do with all this. Why is it in America that we make the rules for the exceptions and not the majority of everyone? Because this is going to be like, what, 3 players a year? Who cares? If you want to declare coming out of high school and you don't get selected, why would we banish you? You need help more than anyone. Come to college, improve your game, grow up, start to become an adult, and start working on that degree. And then if you really are that good, now a legal agent is going to take care of you. Maybe they can get you some money. Maybe they'll take out that insurance policy on your knees or whatever, and you can go get yourself ready to play in 3 short years. Now, do these 3 rules fix everything? No, of course not. It's a lot of problems. But these 3 rules, I think, would fix a lot of the problems that we have in college basketball right now. And that's better than where we're at right now, because we're already seeing all these universities and all these coaches and all these players being accused of all sorts of things. Let's just eliminate some of the nonsense. Let's eliminate some of the antiquated thinking around college basketball and start making a little bit of sense. Okay, so what did we learn from the weekend in sports? It's funny because, like I said, football is over, but we still have a lot of things that are very, very interesting going on in the world of sports. Let's take a look at a few of the lessons that were on display for us this weekend. First, let's start off in the NBA, where we learned that the Cleveland Cavaliers, yeah, they're not all better like the media was telling us they were just like a week or two ago. I told you here on The Dose, there was going to be a period that we would need to wait and observe who the Cavs were with this new lineup. Right now, it's kind of looking like Cleveland is the same team as they were before the trades, isn't it? They're just younger. And I mean, LeBron James seems to like this group a little bit better, but Cleveland still can't play any defense. And we can sit here and say, I don't know what it is, but when teams play the Cleveland Cavaliers, they just happen to have their best shooting night. It's just kind of weird how it works out that way. Kind of a wacky coincidence. Or we can understand that here's what's more realistic. The Cleveland Cavaliers allow shooters to shoot and allow shooters to get in a rhythm and then allow shooters to get red hot. On Friday night, Cleveland allowed the Philadelphia 76ers to shoot 44% from the field, and Cleveland lost at home. I don't know if the Philadelphia 76ers can shoot 44% in practice with no other defense on the floor. That wasn't all, because then on Saturday, Cleveland allowed the Denver Nuggets to shoot nearly 55% from the field. Now, I realize Denver can't shoot a little. They've got some good, young, talented players. Can't play any defense, but they can shoot the ball a little bit. But here's the thing about Denver. The Denver Nuggets were playing their 3rd game in 5 nights all of which were on the road. The Nuggets were on the second night of a back-to-back. Cleveland still got lit up. You know, Cleveland shows flashes of getting some things going offensively. We see these young players, I don't know, maybe a Rodney Hood, maybe a Larry Nance Jr., could help LeBron kind of get going. And we know Kevin Love is still out. I know everyone wants to blame everything on Kevin Love. Love is still out. And so you would think they would get better when he returns. But the Cleveland Cavaliers have some major flaws. And most all of them start at the defensive end. And I always go back to this. So much about defense is wanting to play defense. Just throwing that out there. Take that for whatever it's worth. What else did we learn this weekend? I learned that the Los Angeles Lakers might be getting better. This young team has now won 4 in a row. And while they're not exactly beating Murderers Row, they have beaten the Miami Heat, the Atlanta Hawks, and the Sacramento Kings. Okay, not great. But on Saturday, the Lakers beat the Spurs in San Antonio. And Lonzo Ball, who is back from that injured knee, he managed to get that ugly shot of his to go in. Lonzo hit 6 threes. He scored 18 points. And Julius Randle knocked in another 25. The Lakers are now 28-34. And yes, they're probably screwing themselves in the draft, but they are giving Laker fans something to kind of cheer about for the first time in a while. And that's a good thing. Especially if LeBron James says no to them in free agency. At least there's something to kind of look at in LA and say, hey, they've got a nice young nucleus kind of getting built. They need to figure out a few things and they need a few more pieces, but there are some positive things going on with the Los Angeles Lakers right now. See, what else did we learn in the NBA? I learned that the Western Conference is still superior to the East. I watched that Houston Rockets versus Boston Celtics game, and that was a very, very fun game. Good game. You know, the Rockets actually trailed the Celtics by 3 and missed a shot. Boston guard Terry Rozier gathered the rebound, and there's just a little over a minute to play, and I'm sitting there going, hey, Houston's going to lose this game. One of the best Eastern teams is going to beat one of the best Western teams. And then everything changed. Because PJ Tucker pokes the ball loose. Chris Paul grabs it. Pitches it to Trevor Ariza, who hits a 3. Then Ariza makes a steal. Converts a layup. Boston misses a few looks. Turns it over again. And the Rockets steal a game when, honestly, I didn't think they had their best stuff that night. And I thought Boston had actually played pretty well. And it still didn't matter. You know, unless there are some major changes coming. Sure looks like the NBA champ is coming from the West once again. I think we know who it is, but I suppose we need to throw Houston in there too. I would imagine it's going to be Golden State, but we'll see. The only hope for the Eastern Conference right now is that the West just beats each other up and that the Eastern Conference is going to get to face a lesser version because the West just beat each other up in the playoffs. Other than that, it looks to me like the Western Conference is still way better than the East. Let's stick with basketball. Because I actually learned some things in college basketball this weekend too. You know, we crowned 5 conference tournament champions. They have punched their tickets to the big dance. And we learned a few teams that are going to be in our office brackets next week. Don't forget, this coming Sunday, Selection Sunday. Get ready next Monday to do nothing but look at your bracket and walk around the office talking about who you think's going to win. But here's a few teams that did get in. You know, the Murray State Racers have been playing excellent basketball down the stretch, and they won the Ohio Valley Tournament on Sunday. That kind of takes the guesswork out of whether or not Murray State would make it into the tournament, because we know, as much as they say they don't, the NCAA Tournament Committee favors the big names over the little names. Is Murray State big enough to get in? Probably not, but Murray State beat Belmont, and they beat them by holding them to just 19 second half points. Murray State, back to the dance for the first time since 2011. You know, they could be one of those teams that is just good enough to sneak up on a bigger name school in the dance. Take a look at Murray State in the tournament. Should be fun. You know, the Radford Highlanders hit a 3 at the buzzer to beat Liberty on Sunday.
Here we go for the 2018 Big South Championship. Gotta go. Jones for the win.
And they put Radford in the big dance for the first time since 2009. Radford finishes the season with a 20-14 record. Yes, they were just above 500 in conference, but they got the win in the conference tournament on Sunday. That's all that matters. The Radford Highlanders are in. Now, I told you last week that Loyola Chicago is a very dangerous team if they could, in fact, make it into the tournament. And on Sunday, they punched their ticket, beating Illinois State and honestly making it look relatively easy. They handled the Redbirds. They shot nearly 42%. They only committed 6 turnovers all day. Telling you right now, someone is going to draw Loyola Chicago and think they have an easy first round. Be careful. That's all I'm saying. Loyola Chicago, the Ramblers are no joke. Now, if you missed the Atlantic Sun Conference Championship on Sunday, you missed a wild one. The Lipscomb Bisons led by 32 points at one point in the second half. That lead actually got cut clear down to 5 points as Florida Gulf Coast, who was the favorite, came all the way back and made it a close game. Lipscomb somehow hung on. They make it to the NCAA tournament for the first time in their history. And Lipscomb scored 108 points in the championship game, knocked off a Florida Gulf Coast team that we all kind of remember getting in the last few years. And we kind of thought that because of their experience, they'll get in again. No, Lipscomb puts them down. They get into the tournament. Final team that gets in, talked about it a little bit last week. The Big Ten Conference champion gets in. The Michigan Wolverines are red hot right now. They beat a very solid Purdue team on Sunday and clinched their spot in the field, even though we know both of these teams are going to get in anyways. That's still a nice way to finish out your season for Michigan. And you know, Michigan is playing really, really good defense, and that might give them a chance. Because we know we've seen sometimes John Beilein teams, they usually play pretty good offense, not always the best defensively. Now, I do want to see how the long layoff is going to affect these Big Ten teams, as they already played their conference tournament, and they played it really early. The Big Ten is now done for over a week until the tournament begins. And here's the thing that we're going to have to watch. Which coaches are going to be able to keep their teams sharp over that break? It's not as easy to do as you might think. You got to try to keep your teams focused. You got to try to keep their concentration up and their willingness to prepare to get ready for their opponent. And you don't know who your opponent is. It's going to be interesting to see how the Big Ten is able to do in the NCAA tournament. Hey, coming back, we will discuss a few more things that we learned. Want to talk a little bit about the NFL Combine and maybe something that I picked up watching that filthy, disgusting sport by the name of boxing. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you've got any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. March's Loot Crate theme is called Playback, and it features items from Back to the Future, Sonic the Hedgehog, Dungeons & Dragons, and The Simpsons. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type Daily Dose into the coupon box. We're going to get you 10% off of your order. And if none of those franchises I just read stand out to you, not a big deal. Go over to Loot Crate. You are going to find the franchises you like. They have a ton of items to choose from. So make sure that you head over to lootcrate.com. Got to continue with what else we learned from this weekend. You know, I did watch some more boxing this weekend, and I apologize in advance, but I did learn one specific thing from watching this weekend. On Saturday night, heavyweight title holder Deontay Wilder knocked out Luis Ortiz in the 10th round. And as soon as the fight was over, he immediately started calling out Anthony Joshua, who holds the other 2 heavyweight title belts. And I'm telling you right now, based on what I saw on Saturday night, Wilder better be very, very careful. He wasn't that impressive in that fight. You know, Luis Ortiz didn't exactly look like a title contender body-wise. I mean, he fought a tough fight, don't get me wrong, but he looked like he had just gotten back from a pie-eating championship. And he had Wilder in big trouble in the 7th round. In fact, all 3 judges ruled it a 10-8 round because Wilder was basically out on his feet. He eventually recovered and got the win. But I'm telling you right now, just watching that fight, I learned that I'm not real sold on Deontay Wilder's chin. Now, I hope that this fight between Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua does happen, because it would be nice just to have an interesting heavyweight title fight. But I'm not overly confident in Wilder after what I saw on Saturday night. He doesn't like to get hit. And Anthony Joshua is going to hit him. I did learn that this weekend. Now, the NFL Combine is going to finish out later today, and we'll look a little more at that later in this week. But we did already learn a few things from watching the NFL Combine over the weekend. One of the things that I learned, Shaquan Griffin, that one-handed linebacker out of the University of Central Florida, he is drawing some huge attention after his performance in Indianapolis, and he deserves every bit of it. Griffin ran the fastest 40 ever for a linebacker. He posted a 4.38 40. Then, as if that wasn't impressive enough, Griffin put on a prosthetic hand and put up a 20 on the bench press. He doesn't have one of his hands. I mean, can a guy with one hand, without the aid of fireworks, play in the NFL? We may find out, because Griffin looks like he might get a chance. He has been so impressive, not only physically, but everyone has been impressed with his attitude and just the way he carries himself. We may see a one-handed linebacker get drafted in this NFL draft. Going to be very, very interesting. It is tough not to cheer for Shaquan Griffin. And then, also in the NFL Combine, yeah, we saw people starting to talk themselves into some quarterbacks, just like we knew that they would. I'm already starting to hear it. Hey, you know, Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen, he's got an incredibly strong arm. They are saying he can throw it 90 yards. Yeah, we already knew that. It's not his throwing power. It's his accuracy that is a tad iffy. And I'm not real sold on the accuracy just yet. I'm not saying he can't play. I don't know. Lamar Jackson is the best athlete in the draft. Yeah, no question about that. Dude is absolutely electric. Did you watch him play? If you did, you know that already. But here's the question. Can he play NFL quarterback at that size? Especially when the running aspect of his game is an important part of his game. Can he stay healthy? I don't know. We heard that Sam Darnold showed some really, really good speed. Again, I've seen the film. I watched Sam Darnold play at USC. I know he's got good speed, but he didn't throw it all. How's his arm? I think that would be the more important thing I want to know. His throwing mechanics, while effective, aren't the prettiest, right? So I don't know that that really settled anything for me. And then Josh Rosen, the kid out of UCLA. Hey, Josh Rosen has all the measurables. He throws the prettiest pass, got decent strength, can make all the throws. He's really showing the good interview skills. Well, of course he has all the measurables, but he has none of the intangibles. And don't tell me about the great interview that he put up. I don't want to hear about that. The guy is trying to get a job. Think about the things we have all said in interviews to try to get a job. Come on. We've come up with some crazy things, haven't we? Just trying to get yourself a job? You'll say anything that you know they want to hear if you're trying to get a job. I'm not buying any of it. Here's what I know. I saw him play at UCLA. Didn't look to me like he always felt like playing. That would be a major concern to me if I was drafting. You know, this 2018 NFL draft class, it has a ton of talent. There is talent everywhere. I'm just not sure there is a single quarterback here that is worthy of a first round pick. And yes, I'm looking right at you, John Elway. Take a quarterback early at your own risk. And here's the thing. I don't know if there's a legitimate first round pick with these quarterbacks. And I honestly think we're going to see not one or two. I think we're going to see four or five taken in the first round. I mean, those things always end up turning out well, don't they? That never goes bad, does it? Never costs anyone their job or sets a franchise back a few years or anything, does it? I don't know. It just might. Hey, we do have a full week packed with more Daily Dose for you. Selection Sunday is next weekend, like I said. So it is championship week in college hoops. Who should we be watching? Who's warming up? Plus, the NFL Combine wraps up today, and NFL free agency is coming quickly. We want to look at who's going to be available there. We also have Hump Day Power Rankings, Overreactions of the Week, and as we do every single Friday, a Daily Dose Top 5 that we've still got to get to. We've got a ton to still get to this week. Hey, by the way, tomorrow, I don't know if I can pull this off, but I am trying to track down a Hollywood insider to give us the scoop on what really went on at those pretentious Oscar awards last night. You know that crap isn't my specialty, so we're trying to get someone who can help us understand the whole thing. And you know, there was a sports aspect to the Oscars last night. Not sure if you saw it, but Dear Basketball, featuring Kobe Bryant, picked up the Oscar award for Best Animated Short. I haven't seen the movie, but I'm told that the Colorado hotel room scene is very, very touching. We are going to be discussing all of that and so much more tomorrow right here on The Daily Dose. Have to say thank you so much for listening to The Daily Dose on your Monday. For all of you that share the show, it is very, very appreciated. Feel free to contact us with what's on your mind. Email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or go over to Facebook or Twitter and find us over there. The handle for both of those is @DailyDoseSports. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see all of you tomorrow. Have a wonderful Monday.